Today's program has been brought to you by Kane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit Kane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Erica Wides. Now, you guys all know that I'm the John Stewart of food, right? I mean, that's what I'm known as. Like, when people talk about me on late-night talk shows or on the NPR media analysis shows, they say, oh yeah, Erica Wides of Let's Get Real, she's the John Stewart of food. Totally. And they're right. I am the John Stewart of food, and if I ever really were discussed on any of those shows and not just in my imagination, it would be a happy, happy day here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter. Even better a day would be if they actually invited me to be on those shows as a guest. Then I would give them the full Foodiness Funhouse Fantasy Festival experience. Probably even better than Jon Stewart himself. But there was actually this one time last summer when I was at an audition with about 2,000 other people to be one of the new AOL morning news show hosts. Yeah, I know, AOL. Who knew they even still existed? And at this audition, which I totally nailed, by the way, but I never heard a peep about again from them. At this audition, I sat and I waited with the 1,999 other people who were auditioning. And this guy sitting next to me in my audition group, and I started talking. And I said to him, oh, I'm the John Stewart of food. And he looked at me very intently for a couple minutes, and he said, no, you're not the John Stewart of food. You're the Rachel Maddow of food. And I thought, you know, he's probably right. But more people like John Stewart than Rachel Maddow. She's a little harder for some people to swallow. But, I mean, I would take either one. They both work for me just fine. Happy to associate myself with them. Not sure how they feel about it. So you can imagine my little bespectacled, gobsmacked punim this Sunday. Punim means face in Yiddish, by the way. This past Sunday, when I went to the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria, Queens, here in New York City, to see a screening of the 1976 movie Network. And I realized that I've been gratuitously associating myself with the wrong iconic celebrities all this time. Now, if you don't remember the movie Network, or you never saw it, you need to. It's a very, very famous movie about the corporatization of the network TV news in the 1970s. And it's a ridiculously cynical, I mean, like painfully cynical, prophetic look at the breaking down of the sacred wall that separated true hard news from entertainment, which is how it was back then. There actually was a wall that separated them. And this was in 1976. So this was before cable. This was like at the early dawning, crawling from the primordial ooze era of cable, before 24-hour news, before the internet, before TMZ, before infotainment. 1976, it was a brilliant, scary, and way ahead of its time film masterpiece. Now, I had seen it once before back in college, but I don't think I really saw it then or really, like, got it. Because when I saw it this time, it was like I can't even explain. The central character in Network, the one who caused my bespectacled punim to appear gobsmacked, is an aging newscaster named Howard Beale. Now, Howard Beale gets so fed up with the bullshit of the news business and the watering down of the truth and the blurred lines between news and entertainment that he has a meltdown on the air, and he tells the TV audience to fling open their windows, lean out the windows, and scream. Well, you know what they screamed, right? I mean, you've seen it, haven't you? Even if you haven't seen it, you should know what they screamed. Just say yes. Now, if you haven't seen it, that's your homework for 2 weeks from now, because I will be away in Portlandia next week visiting my friend. So if you haven't seen it and you have no idea what they all screamed, you'll find out. But I'll let you know later on in the show. I'm going to save it. So as I'm watching Network, it occurs to me that this is where it all started. All the Jon Stewarts and Stephen Colberts and Rachel Maddows and all the Keith Olbermans, who incidentally was there at the screening for a Q&A afterwards with David Itzkoff from The Times, who just wrote a book about the film. And all the guys and gals in whose image I've modeled my own media persona, they all spring from the DNA of Network and of Howard Beale. Foodiness is a descendant of that legacy. Let's Get Real springs from his loins. It was like being present at the creation. Now, I've always wanted to do that DNA testing thing where you send in a swab of cells from the inside of your cheek and you send it away, and then it comes back and they tell you where your ancestors came from and all the diseases that you're probably going to get and all that stuff. Well, this was like that. It was like seeing myself being born in the guise of Howard Beale. Only it happened when I was 9. So it took me a few decades to recognize it. And the timing of this reviewing of this film Network was uncanny too, because the night before we went to this screening on PBS here in New York, they showed Rocky, the first Rocky picture. And oddly enough, Rocky beat out Network for Best Picture that same year. Network won plenty of other awards, including Best Supporting Actress for someone who's on screen for 5 minutes. But it didn't win Best Picture because I think maybe it freaked out the establishment just a little bit too much. But this episode of Let's Get Real isn't about film. This isn't a show about film. It's a show about food and foodiness, born of Network's channeled anger and rage, sprung from its DNA with the capacity for seeing through the bullshit. That's what this show is all about. And we'll get back to all of that in just a minute after we take a break.
You're listening to Intrigue by Obesity on heritageradionetwork.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on Heritage Radio Network with me, Erica Wides. So after we went to the screening of Network in Queens, and then after taking the two-hour-long circuitous Sunday in New York subway ride home, we settled back onto the couch, of course, to watch the last night of the Olympics, because you know I love the Olympics, and I've been watching every night since it started. And because the Olympics, unlike Network, are not about cynicism. The Olympics are not about cynicism or multinational corporations dictating to the masses or global power plays or political maneuverings. Oh, no. The Olympics are not about it. Oh, wait. Yeah, actually, I guess the Olympics actually are about all of that. Because just under the surface of the melting snow and the ice at Sochi, lurking are the corporate behemoths who control the message of the Olympics. Just like a network, underneath was the corporation controlling the message. But in this case, in the Olympics, it's the message of Coke and Subway and McDonald's, the three leaders in the global spikes in obesity, diabetes, and heart disease, the three leaders in destroying local food cultures and replacing them with sanitized, globalized, corporatized, Americanized foodiness. And so there was Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian in history, and there was Anton Ono, gold medal speed skater, sincerely trying to tell us, like so many evening news people and reporters, that they really and truly believed that eating food from Subway was what made them great. And if that we, too, want to be like them, Olympic-level athletes, and not just in something dumb like bobsled or curling, but gold medal-winning swimming and speed skating, then getting our nourishment and sustenance at Subway will get us there. And there were the ads with all the gold medalists doing that weird thing that people do with gold, which is to bite it. And the metal biting was intercut with scenes of people biting into chicken McNuggets as if they were made of gold and not of chicken skin and mechanically separated meat slurry and sugar and starch glue. And we are also to believe that the consumption of nuggets equals the winning of gold. Oh, and the Coke ads, of course, which are more self-congratulatory and claim that Coke plays a huge part in the production of champion athletes because they've been sponsoring the Olympics since ancient Greek times, apparently. I talked about some of this on last week's show when I talked about sandwiches and about Subway and 2 weeks ago and about the salad show, but the Olympics just ended. It's all still very fresh on my brain. Like Subway, very fresh. Now, are we that stupid? Collectively, do McDonald's and Subway and Coke really think we make those associations? No, I don't think even they have that level of Faye Dunaway network era cynicism. The McMetalists biting into their McGold isn't quite the same as an assassination on live TV staged to drum up ratings points, but it's pretty darn close. Now, you know that foodiness originally sprung from truthiness. Stephen Colbert's term for what Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney were trying to spin out from their tenuous thread of connecting Saddam Hussein with 9/11. There was no connection. There was none. Saddam Hussein was a really bad guy, and we needed to take him out, but not in retaliation for 9/11. Different issues there. Separate. Different. But they needed it to be connected to keep selling their war McNuggets, so they created it as truth. Truthiness is when you take something vaguely tenable and say it over and over and over and over again until it becomes the truth. Foodiness is the same thing. Tell someone that vitamin water is better than water, that orange juice with added calcium is better than just eating an orange, that special K bars are what women need for total nutrition, that red velvet cake flavored yogurt will give you the probiotic benefits you need from yogurt while still tasting like dessert. That the best athletes in the world can be made by feeding them foot-long teriyaki chicken combos and quarter pounders and Coke and nuggets. That's not even foodiness. That's just lying. Flat out lying. But it's such expensive, powerful lying. It's government-level lying. It's truthiness-level lying. It's cloud atlas corpocracy-level lying, where the line between corporations and government have been long dissolved, and they are one and the same level lying. It's network, but 38 years later and with much, much better teeth on all the players. Does anybody deep down really believe it? Unfortunately, yes, enough people do. Keep lying long enough and it starts to just sound like the truth. Look at the Soviet propaganda machine. Look at the Nazis. Look at the Gulf, Persian, and Afghanistan wars. Look at Subway. Look at Coke. Look at the government. Look at yourself. How many lies do you tell yourself every day? Oh my God, I'm getting all Howard Beale'd out on you. Before the closing ceremonies of the Olympics on Sunday night, after I came home from network to watch the closing ceremonies, they showed a documentary about the Nancy Kerrigan-Tanya Harding rivalry and attack from 20 years ago. I'm sure you heard about that. Talk about lying. Now, I won't get into the backstory because I'm sure you all know it, but there was a section of the film that discussed Nancy Kerrigan's triumphant year after the incident and after her silver medal win. because, you know, she lost to Oksana Bayou, the orphan from Ukraine. Now, after the Olympics, Nancy Kerrigan, who was America's sweetheart and the princess in all of it, starts to come across as the not-so-nice kind of bitchy sore loser, not the Disney princess that the media wanted to make her into. So she's forced to ride on a float in the parade at Disney World afterwards, standing next to Mickey Mouse. Poor Nancy. And she was mic'd, but she didn't realize that she was mic'd, and she was caught muttering into Mickey's big ear about how corny the whole thing was and how embarrassed she was to be there. She wasn't saying anything really bad. She was just being honest. It was corny. She was embarrassed. She wasn't lying. She was being honest about how she felt to be there, riding on a flower-covered truck with a guy in a giant mouse costume. That's all. And what happens? Nancy Kerrigan is stoned as a heretic. She's unpatriotic, ungrateful, un-American. How could she? She gets blasted for seeing through the bullshit. It was her Howard Beale moment, however unintentionally. And the interview, in the interview with Bob Costas after the documentary airs, she backpedals and starts talking about how much she and her kids actually love Disney, and they go there all the time. Because apparently somebody saw the documentary and said, oh, we have to clean that little mess up. But Michael Phelps and Anton Ono and all the gold medalists can get up there and cravenly shill for corporations that are overtly destroying the health, wellness, and environment of our people and our planet. And they're seen as heroes. So what's the lesson here? I never did tell you what Howard Beale screams out the window that night, did I? Well, I'll get back to it. We're going to take another little quick break.
You're listening to Snickers by Obesity on heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food with me, Erica Weitz, on Heritage Radio Network. So, after all of that, let me tell you a story. Last week, I was hired to be a model. Yeah, really. I know. I don't understand. But yes, I was hired as a model in a photo shoot. Now, it was a shoot for a stock photo agency. Do you know what those are? Stock photo agencies. They're like archives of pictures, and magazine editors call them up and say, we need a picture of an apple being shot with an arrow. And they say, oh yeah, we have that. Oddly enough, years ago, before I became a chef, I actually worked in stock photo agencies. Anyway, so I was hired for that, and I was going to be portraying a volunteer and also a needy person at a soup kitchen. It was a stock photo editorial shoot about volunteering in a soup kitchen. So I was going to play a volunteer, and I was also going to play a hungry person. Okay, I can play both of those. And it was fun, and I got paid for it, and I met some really nice people, and it was a really good day, and I'm not complaining or criticizing, really. I'm not. But the thing that got to me, of course, there had to be something, was that the one scenario that we shot during the day, it was of all of us volunteers working together at a big table making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, ostensibly for distribution to hungry and or homeless people. Not a problem there with that. That's good. There are hungry people and they need to be fed. Now remember, this was only a photo shoot. It was a setup, a pretend situation. So they weren't going to spring for artisanal organic bread or natural peanut butter or high quality preserves. Of course not. What did we use to make the sandwiches? Super craptastic bagged bread from a factory, industrial peanut butter with three kinds of sugar and hydrogenated oils added, and grape jelly made from corn syrup, sugar, and grape juice. The usual shit. And as I'm altruistically spreading peanut butter on bread and smiling along with everyone else, pretending that I'm making sandwiches, I was thinking that even though this was all a setup, this is exactly the kind of crap that a food pantry would have to use because somebody would have donated it, and it's cheap, and if people are hungry enough, they'll eat anything, and that if I were homeless and hungry, I'd probably be happy to have a crappy PB&J in my hand. And how weird and surreal and postmodern to be paid to be a model pretending to be a volunteer in a fabricated soup kitchen for a stock photo house so that magazine editors can use the pictures for their editorials on hunger in America. How far down the rabbit hole is that? Think of how many people we could have fed if we'd all just set up a table on the street and actually fed people. Think of the money spent to produce this shoot that could have all just been put into a real soup kitchen. Don't bite the hand that feeds you, apparently. We also did many shots of us serving food from behind a serving line. And this was food that had been brought in specifically as prop food that we served and then put back from the plates into the aluminum foil pans and then served again and again, with each shot to get just the right looks of care and altruism on the volunteers' faces and just the right expressions of gratefulness and need on the pretend patrons. I played both a volunteer and a patron, as I said, and it wasn't a stretch either way for me. And at least in that scene, the food was real. It was fried chicken and rice and canned vegetables, edible, real food, not good food, not high quality food, but food. And then it all got thrown out afterwards because it was very old by then and it had been handled too much. And what a waste. It was very surreal. I'm not sure what happened to the sandwiches because we wrapped them all up in little bags in the last scene. And hopefully they then went to feed actual people who would probably have been better off eating the hours-old chicken and rice, not the sandwiches. And then I wasn't needed anymore in the shoot and I got to go home. And then that night at home, I turned on the TV and I watched the world's best athletes bite into their McMedals and drink their Cokes and tell me that Subway's version of nutrition would make me the elite athlete I want to be, or at least a curler or a bobsledder. And I listened to the lies and I listened to the bullshit. And then I went to my window and I screamed out, I'm mad as hell at foodiness and I'm not going to take it anymore. Because if you never saw a network, that's basically what Howard Beale screams out the window. And then I went back to the couch and I poured myself a little bit of bourbon and I switched to Netflix and I turned on an episode of Mad Men because I had had enough cynicism for one night. So that's it for this week's Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. I'm Erica Wides. This is the Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. You can find all of my shows on letsgetrealshow.com or on heritageradionetwork.org. We're also all on iTunes. I will be in Portland, like I said, next week, but I'll be back live in 2 weeks with an all-new show. Thanks to Evan in the control room, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.